Hello, hello. Welcome to season two of the show for the 12th House Tomfoolery podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tiffany, and I'm here with Kate. Say hi to the people, Kate.
Hi, guys.
So we're starting off doing a little, I don't want to say segment, but a series of episodes, and we're going to be doing it about cults this time. Kate had that idea.
Yes.
And I was like, let's fucking run with it. I love it. So Kate, let's, you have something astrological to tell me real quick?
Yeah, well, quickly, I just wanted to go off a little bit more about that, of course, because I can never shut up. We are going to do like a little maybe 6-episode series. We'll see. We're really into cults, so maybe it'll be more. But we're going to do the cult, and then we're going to do like a little mini episode about the astrology of the cult leader and the cult itself after it, just to kind of separate the two for the people that don't want to listen to the astrology, but also have some symbiosis between the episodes. And we're really excited about it. Today, to start off the cult series, and since we are in Aries season, Aries is ruled by Mars. Mars is many things. It is our passion. It is our sacred rage. It is our anger. It is our motivation. It is also Mars rules sexuality, sex, like our sex drive. Mars in our chart is basically like our masculine drive, and that encompasses sex. So we are going to be going into, for the first cult, One Taste. Tiffany, have you heard about One Taste?
No, actually, I have no clue. And I did not look it up because you said how unhinged it was. I was like, I want to be fresh.
It is so unhinged. It's so unhinged. So I'll get into how I first heard about this in a second, but I just wanted to say, for the astrology part of this, would you rather I get into that in the end or get into it a little bit right now?
Let's make them listen to it right now. And then you can just cruise through the whole episode.
Let's make them listen to it right now. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, for this, actually, we can't do a little mini episode because the leader of this cult, and I am definitely going to say it's a cult. There is some argument about that, but in my mind, for sure, this is a cult. You cannot find Nicole Dadone, who is the leader of this cult. You cannot find her chart. You cannot find her birthday. Could you find it? Did you try?
Oh my God. Actually, I completely forgot.
Okay, well, trust me, my little Virgo paws were all over it, and I could not find her birthday, which is wild.
If one of you can find it, shoot it over, we'll draw up the chart, no big deal.
Yes, if anyone can find her actual birthday, please send it over. But not only could I not find like her time of birth to get her accurate chart, I could not find her birthday, which I don't know. She's a spiritual weirdo. She's a bad one, but I feel like that's on purpose. Why does no one know her birthday? But I did find that she was born in, and I think this is correct. I also saw one sign said she was a Cancer, but everything else I saw said that she was born in August of 1967. So that means she's either a Leo or a Virgo. It definitely means that she has heavy Leo and Virgo in her chart. I pulled the chart for the middle of August of 1967, which obviously her personal planets will be different, but she definitely has Uranus and Pluto conjunct in Virgo, which the way that that translates, Pluto is the archetype of sex, death, transformation, deep kind of dark, scary stuff. And Uranus is sudden insight, weird changes, strange happenings, strange ways of doing things. It can be brilliance. It can be really bad changes, but she has those two conjunct. So sex and very weird things with sex in Virgo, which is the wellness industry, which is helping, which is this kind of, you know, do-gooder, but very much the wellness industry falls under Virgo. So she starts this crazy sex cult in the wellness industry. So that definitely plays out. She also has Mars in Scorpio, which I think no matter what, if she's born in August of 67, she has Mars in Scorpio. And as I have said on many occasions, Mars and Scorpio is a very scary placement. It doesn't mean that everyone that has it is scary, but it's an intense placement. It's an intense placement to have. It just is. And with all of those archetypes playing together, Leo, Virgo, Scorpio, but especially Leo and Virgo. And I'm saying this as somebody who has 3 Virgo placements and 2 Leo placements. So I'm taking an unbiased eye towards it. Can be a really scary pairing because Leo has this easeless charisma. Like Leo is just, it has bombast to it, but it also has charm and charisma. It just does. It's the lion. It's the sun. It's a very magnetic energy. So people with a lot of Leo in their chart tend to be very likable, tend to have this magnetism towards them. Then when you add Virgo in there, which is very, very calculating, very analytical, very like nitpick, nitpick, nitpick. If that's alchemized in certain ways within a chart, you have a very scary person on your hands because you have charisma, but you also have that analytical, nitpicky, laser-like focus. It can go really well. It can go really, really scary. And I think in Nicole Dedon's case, scary, scary. So are you ready to get into the world of one taste?
Yes.
Me too. Me too. Okay. So I first was introduced to this and I didn't really revisit it, which is shocking. Probably like 5 years ago, I went on this date. This is like foreshadowing to my life as a spiritual weirdo. It was off like OkCupid or Tinder. And it was a date with this guy. And I told all my friends and they were cracking up and they were like, of course he would go on this date. He was, and it actually was a great date. The guy was really nice. I had a really great time. It wasn't a romantic connection, but he was like a high priest and he owned a metaphysical shop in Brooklyn and he did ancient rune readings, tarot, astrology, all of this stuff, but like a big deal. Like he was like the on staff, ruin reader for like Oprah's staff. He like does celebrity things. Like this is his job. Oh, wow. And he is like clouded in it. Yeah. It's really cool. I actually reached out to him on Instagram when I started my spiritual journey and was like, hey, I know we haven't talked in a while. He didn't respond, but, we had this great date. He took me to this vampire bar, Madame X, on the Lower East Side. Yes. And he did a tarot reading for me, which was dead on, but I didn't believe in this stuff then. So I was like, okay, whatever. But we got into a really interesting and very long conversation about cults because I've always been obsessed with cults. And he was telling me that his ex-girlfriend, I think, was a part of this one taste thing. And he was like, it's this crazy sex cult. And I was like, what? And he told me a bit about it, but somehow it left my consciousness, but it came back with a raging bull energy this past week. So it is one taste. As I said, definitely, I think is a
the name. I'm like,
ugh. One taste. I know. I know. So I also think this is a really great cautionary tale of, obviously I'm very spiritual. I believe in all of the spirituality and that kind of stuff. But I do think it's a very predatory market, right? Like,
yeah,
because there is a lot of woo. Obviously, I believe in a lot of it, but it can be weaponized. It can be manipulated. It can really take something that should be beautiful and really help people with their vulnerability and help them grow. And it can be weaponized and it can be manipulated and really be pretty evil. And that is what this situation is. I also think that like there's some things about this organization that I think could have been positive, but just were completely manipulated and went down a road where it really is not positive. I also, before we really get into it, there are definitely some trigger warnings. There is lots of talk about sexual trauma and trauma and abuse. So I want to put that out there. Trigger warning. There's some triggering stuff in this story. Okay. So we'll start off with Nicole Dedon. There's not that much you can find out about her. As I said, you can't find her birthday. You can't really find out all that much about her past. And what you can find out, it's different stories. So there's no like real truth to it. I'm not exactly sure about her childhood. Her father, this is confirmed. Her relationship to her father, not confirmed. Her father was convicted on 52 counts of child abuse. So sexual child abuse. Yeah. So her dad he died in prison. Definitely a bad dude. She claims that she was abused by him. Other people say, no, I don't know. It seems to me probably definitely. Yes, she was. She does seem like she has a lot of trauma going on in her. But that's like really all we know. We know that she was raised by her mom, but there's no like how her childhood was. You can't find it. She went to college at San Francisco State and was a major in gender studies. She then at one point definitely was a stripper. At one point definitely was a call girl. All of this she, you know, says, yes, she did it. Mm-hmm. But we don't really know. There's no like timeline to it. Then she got into this spiritual realm after her father's death, when he died in prison. Again, did they have a good relationship? Did they have a bad relationship? I don't know. We'll get to what she says about that a little bit later. She starts on the spiritual path. She starts getting into really meditation, all of these, you know, all the normal suspects of stuff. She says that during this time period where she's like into meditation, she goes to this party and meets, in different versions of the story, sometimes it's just a dude she met at a party. Other times it's a monk that she met at the party that said, I want to perform an experiment with you. I want to touch into your sexual vulnerability. So she's like, I'm in this space, you know, and it was this monk. So I was like, okay, let's do it. And he has her strip from the pants down and do this orgasm experiment with her, where he's like rubbing her clit for 15 minutes and shining a light on her vagina. And like, shining, had a flashlight with him, which my thing is like, okay, did this guy just like carry around his pussy light? Like, what?
He's nearsighted. He's like, I've got to focus. This
little fucking flashlight. He's like, let me get my reader glasses out. Really gotta see the. Yeah. But I guess he carried this pussy flashlight with him.
Do I need goggles? Okay, got it.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm not waterproofed yet. Oh my God.
That's
okay. I need goggles. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so he whips out his pussy flashlight, I guess, that he takes with him everywhere he goes. And he's orating to her. He's like, okay, your pussy, your labia is turning from a coral color to like a deep rose blush. And you're, you know, just telling her everything that's going on. She was like, I had never felt so vulnerable or so seen, all of this, you know, flowery talk. Did that actually happen? I don't think so. Because she had enrolled in Morehouse University, which is its own separate thing, started by this guy who changed his name to Morehouse, but he basically started this utopian, I don't know what you would call it, project side adventure, where he was teaching this orgasmic thing where the woman lays there in your rubber clit and it makes everyone closer. That was like the whole basis of this quote unquote university, which was really communal living. It was like 50 people living together and basically all fucking. And she lived there for like a year underneath this guy's tutelage where they all were doing this stuff. Then she goes off on her own and starts One Taste. But it, to me, she didn't meet this guy at a party. She had this year of indoctrination in this Morehouse University, which is still a thing, by the way. It's still operating. But she feels the need to create this tale that, you know, she met this monk at a party. So it starts in 2005. And it's very small. She holds these workshops about oming, OM, like, you know, in spirituality, OM is supposed to be the sound of the universe. So it's actually a really smart marketing because it's OM for orgasmic meditation. Mm.
Man, branding right out the gate.
Right. There's that Virgo. There's that Virgo coming out. So what an OM is, do you want to learn about what an OM is?
Yeah, let's cover it.
Let's do it. Okay. So this is how to OM. The woman lies down, a pillow under her head and a pillow under each leg. She butterflies open her legs. The male is wearing a glove that is lubricated. He puts his finger, one finger, on the upper left quadrant of her clit. It has to be the upper left quadrant.
And then
Yeah, quadrants of the clit. Yeah.
Like it has a massive surface area. Okay, go ahead.
I know, right? I love that they call it that. The upper left quadrant of her clit. And then they go over like very lightly rubbing it like up and down and then like sideways to side. And you can like bring her up, bring her down, bring her up, bring her down. And so you're supposed to do that. Basically, it's teaching you how to edge a woman for 15 seconds or 15 minutes is the thing. And that's what it is, right? So it's just right. That is what it is. You've now learned orgasmic meditation. This is the whole calling card of their entire empire, their entire business. Like, just wrap your mind around that. So this is a cult that is based on fingering a woman, period, the end. 15 minutes mm-hmm. of putting one finger on the upper left quadrant and stroking it. So that's crazy to begin with, right?
No penetration, just that?
No penetration.
Okay.
No. So the whole idea behind this, and I will give credence to the fact that I think, you know, a lot of people view sexuality as like a negative thing and certainly have trouble being vulnerable with sexuality, and sexuality should be intimate, and it doesn't have to be. You can just fuck somebody too, but you should be comfortable in your own sexual power and what you want. Like, I agree with all that. And I do agree that like orgasms are energetic and they help you feel better. And I don't think they're a bad thing. And I think, you know, women need to own their sexuality. I agree with all that. This right. nonsense, it gets a little crazy. So her whole thing is we're not connected. The world is not connected. And the cure to this is female orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the cure to the world. So she starts it in San Francisco. And the big thing is, okay, we'll get these young, beautiful women to come in. And as it grows in money and stature, the women become more beautiful. The women become younger. The men that they're targeting to come to this are Silicon Valley types that have a lot of money because they're doing really well in the tech world. But also, you know, might be a little dorky, might not feel super comfortable with women. So they're basically these meetups where they've got these beautiful women who are like, I want to come. And men who are like, I don't really know my way with women. I'm awkward with women.
And then you've got this guy in the corner experience. Like, hey, it's all about the upper left quadrant. You just got to get in there.
Yeah. That upper left quadrant, it's so important. It's so important. So they start doing these workshops, these like orgasm workshops, and they would start doing pop-ups too, where it would be, and there's, if you watch the documentary on Netflix, it's these huge pop-ups with hundreds of people. And it's like, how is your orgasm? And everyone's talking very openly about sex and orgasm and all this kind of stuff. But they're very, very explicit sexually. Like, it's like, this pussy has power. They're using very strong verbiage to, as they call it, either turn you on or make you uncomfortable. Either way, it's like arousing your energy. But there's no, excuse the pun, pussyfooting around this. They are using very sexually explicit terms. And that can be like, whoa, to people, shocking, you know? So they started
like
out, they
would
have,
responding, but I'm just hitting you with a bombastic side eye like every 2 seconds. I'm like, okay, I'm just waiting for the build.
Yeah.
It's so weird already.
Yeah. Well, I'm edging you. I'm oming you through my voice, waiting for the buildup. Yeah. So they start off with these little oming events. And by the way, this, I didn't know what it was. I did see stuff for this in New York. No. I didn't know it was one taste, but I very much remember seeing, yeah, and being like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'm not going, which is shocking. Actually, I could see myself like going to one of these things, but I didn't go to one because I was like, what is going on with this? Because it got big in New York too. But at the very beginning,
they
it's
got that guy's girlfriend.
What guy's girlfriend?
The guy you went on a date with.
Oh, yeah.
At the New York pop-up. Yeah, like, I think. Damn it, I lost another one.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened with her. She like grew up in a cult too. And then she was, I don't remember the whole thing, but yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. But when it starts out, it's these small little things, like as many cults do, you know, come for $10, whatever. I think it started
come
off with good intent.
Bucks?
I think Well, I don't know if in the beginning, I think you would go to them and you could be one of the OHM demonstrators. But after a while, it was like, no, there's no audience participation. It's just the quote unquote coaches. But yeah. Yeah. And I think I really do think when it started, like, I think she bought into I think power went to her head. And I think she is very much a trauma victim. And like, it can be a bad combination if not well integrated. But I don't think she was like starting this out to be like evil. I think it came as she got power that Pluto can also do that. I don't know.
And let you know at the end. But I think.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't, I don't know. I don't know with her. She's definitely bad. She's definitely, definitely bad for sure. I don't know if she started out with the intention of for this to turn into what it turned into or not. Mm-hmm. Cause in the beginning it was very spiritual. It was like really trying to help people through trauma. It really was like a good thing that turned very, very dark, which a lot of things do. And also like in Scientology, you know, like the beginning people that were in Scientology were people that were just really looking for help. And there are things in Scientology. I hate Scientology. It's cuckoo bonkers bananas, but there's certain things in it that are helpful. You know, there are certain tenets of it that can help people. Obviously as a larger bubble, it's absolutely fucking horrible, but they rope you in with the stuff that actually does work. And then they start their crazy shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think this was like helping people, and it was like this open place to explore, and it was like spiritually based. It wasn't creepy. It was like, okay, we're actually meditating and trying to like, I don't know, help our bodies, whatever, but it turned dark real quick. But in the beginning, it was these little group meetings, and you would get together for the group meetings and you'd find your own partner or whatever. And it was great, but then it started to get more and more popular. So she starts to really start to monetize it. And she uses a lot of Scientology tactics, which mm-hmm. are cult tactics. L. Ron Hubbard was very adept at this. So I guess maybe it's not even just Scientology, it's just cult tactics. It just reminds me a lot of Scientology. Right. So she's like, we got to get celebs on board, which was a huge Scientology thing. Got to have celebs. It gives you street cred. Yeah. So she gets Gwyneth Paltrow on board. And you know, Gwyneth Paltrow is, she's her own thing. But Gwyneth Paltrow is very into this kind of stuff. You know, like this candle smells like my vagina. And she's into all sorts of spiritual stuff, but in that Gwyneth Paltrow lens, which is very ego driven. So Gwyneth Paltrow gets on the train. Gwyneth Paltrow is writing about it on Goop. They're starting to get investors from all different areas. They get this Silicon Tech guy to come in who is business savvy and kind of like pump it up in the media. So they're getting tons of positive press from this, from the New York Times. They were on the head of the like style page of the New York Times in 2009. All these people are like, this is this great wellness thing. It's really normalizing females' sexuality. It's great.
Right.
Then the prices start to go up and things start to get way crazier. So an intro workshop, you can still go to the $10 thing where they introduce you to it. Then they've got their sales reps come around and are like, all right, well, you should do the intro workshop where you can really learn how to OHM, which again, they're charging you all this money to teach you how to rub a woman's clit. That's mm-hmm. what they're teaching you, which is insane to me. It's insane. But you should come back to the intro workshop, which is $195. Then you should immerse yourself in the week-long urban monk program, which is $2,000, which is where you go and live. They had one in San Francisco and one in Brooklyn, and they were starting to pop up more. Basically, she was recreating these Morehouse universities, renting out these huge lofts, having people come and live in a communal style, and basically fuck all day, like OHM each other all day. So these people that really got roped into it would quit their jobs, would go and move to these spaces, either the one in Brooklyn or the one in San Francisco, where they were on as part of the staff, but they were hired as independent contractors. So they weren't getting paid really, unless they made quote unquote sales to have more people come in. But these people were making like $200 to $300 a month and putting themselves in thousands and thousands of dollars of debt to pay for these courses. the original one in San Francisco, and in the documentary, they have like one of the awkward tech guys talking about it because he lived there. It was 1060 some street in the middle down there. 40 people were living there. And you basically would just like go from bed to bed and just like, if anybody had any issue, like people are like, you're not doing the dishes. The response was, okay, well, you guys go need to be vulnerable with each other. So go home. And then the answer was already always like rub the clit. But then they were very much pressured to like have sex after that too.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. If I have beef with someone and then they're like, y'all should go work it out, I'll be like, I'm going to punch this person. Are you out of your mind?
Okay, but you weren't allowed to do that. You live there. They go into this in the documentary. Like, people would really get mad. And it was like, no, that's your anger coming out. You need to go solve it. This is not a big thing.
That's cult for me. I would not.
No, I know. So right. And the people were coming back and were saying, like, this is not normal. Like, A, I'm being violated. I don't want to have sex with this person. But it was like, that's what you had to do. So right there, we're already getting into very morally questionable waters, right? Like, incredibly. So that was the Urban Monk program. And then to be trained to be a certified coach, $16,000. Then she started doing the Nicole Dedone intensive, which was like a week, which was $32,000, where you would go and like be taught to om specifically from Nicole for $32,000. So it's, you know.
And the courses never divert out from just clitoral stimulation. I mean, there's only so much you can do there after a certain point.
Yeah. I know, but it's all about the female orgasm. And the female orgasm releases this like sacred female sexuality. So then you're vibrating at a higher level. Again, no pun intended. Vibrating at a higher level. And then it can satiate the man's need to like give pleasure and also get him more in touch with like his emotional side. But we'll see, this gets perverted as well too. This gets bad.
Okay.
So they have like in the documentary, they have this young guy on it who is, I think, 24, and he's like actually a very, very good looking guy. His name is Ruan Mipagala, I think is how you say his last name. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I went because, you know, I was this young guy and I was like sleeping with women, but didn't feel like I had this emotional connection. I was really fucked up in the mind. Like, I was like this frat boy, but I wanted to be more than that. So he goes in and what?
It's just so funny to me. It's like, you know, I'm treating women like whores and running around being a piece of shit, but I don't want to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But the only logical step is clearly for me to go spend $30,000. I can't just, you know, respect women and ask them maybe what their favorite color is before I start deep diving that pussy. I mean, what
the fuck? I know.
I know this is like way out of your range, sir, but pretend that she's a person. And then just go from there.
Just pretend. If you pretend long enough, maybe it'll be real. No, instead, to be a good guy, I'm going to spend 30 grand to learn how to touch a clit. Like,
at least I'll be sure I make women come right before I disappoint them completely.
Exactly. Exactly. I want them to have that one moment of pleasure before I
in these things, my frustration was building, and just when I heard that, it hit a precipice. I was like, okay, what?
Yeah. I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
I was really a great guy, but, you know.
I know.
Okay.
Oh God, that's so funny. It's so funny. Yeah. So, well, you're gonna love how this turns out. So he joins it, and he's like, he was like, when you would go to the things, and this is also very culty, like, you know, trying to figure out the wound, the core wound in somebody, so you can needle it, so you can love bomb it and needle it. So she would do that. She would have her or her sales representatives. Mm-hmm. You would go to these introductory workshops that are $10, and she'd be like, "What's your biggest desire? What is your deepest desire?" And you know, people would say, "You know, I want to have a great career. I want a great love life, or I want a kid. And she would just keep needling more. And she'd be like, no, that's not your biggest desire. No, no, no. And then if you didn't give her what she wanted, she would turn her attention to somewhere else. So he's saying that. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I was saying all these things. And she turned her attention. And then he was like, no, I forget exactly what he said, but he was like, I'm scared of my sexuality, or like, I'm scared. I'm a man and I'm scared of that. And then she like turns back and she's like, oh, really? Well, hello. Let's talk about that. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. That's the answer I need. And you can tell she's beautiful. Like Nicole Dadon is now, she looks a little creepier. She's had like a bunch of plastic surgery, but she is beautiful in these TED Talks. Cause she also had a TED Talk, that had like a bajillion million. Yeah, no, but she was respected before 2018, before this like all really, or 2019, when this all really blew up. She's getting good press. People are not giving her bad press. People are giving her good press. And this TED Talk had, you know, 2 million views, whatever. So she made it a lot about for these men, for the attractive ones, for the ones that were, you know, more awkward and clearly didn't have a lot of sexual experience and women were hard to reach for them. It was about, okay, well, we're going to offer you, you're going to be in touch with your sexuality and women's sacred sexuality because looks aren't that big of a deal here. You know, like it would be coddling them that way. And then the more attractive sexual, more alpha male types, she would target in on, well, you have in males, there is this, she called it the beast, this sexual beast inside of you that can be violent, that can be like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Insatiable. And that's not a bad thing, which is, this was where things really start getting bad. She's like, you need to tap into that. You shouldn't be scared of your own beast. Let's make it, in the beginning, healthy. It doesn't become so healthy later on. So she's got a way to kind of triangulate anybody into her little, you know, her little scheme. So he's talking about it a lot. And he's one of those people that's like, you know, when I started living there and I hadn't been in debt at all, but the salespeople came over and were like, well, you work for us and then we'll help you open up new credit cards. And he's like, okay. So I went from being in what?
No, I can see completely how you would get this like Scientology. They do this exact same stuff.
Yeah.
They sell classes, they help you get loans, they help you get credit cards, they help you get all this. Because I also read a lot about it and did stuff. So yeah, I can see it mirrors that completely.
Yeah.
That predatory.
It's exactly like,
oh, you can't afford it?
It's just,
let's show you how to get a mortgage on your house.
Yep. Yeah. It's just like the registrar at Scientology. Yeah. It's exactly like it. And so he was like, you know, then I was $3,000 in debt. And what's the difference between being $3,000 in debt and $30,000 in debt? When you've never been in debt, you don't know. It's all like this, you know. We've all fallen into the trap with credit cards when you're like, oh, I've got a $7,000 limit. I've got $7,000 to spend. No, you don't. No, the limit doesn't exist.
Who cares?
Yep. And they would – exactly. The limit doesn't exist. And they would do the same thing like in Scientology. Like if you're like, no, I don't want to spend the money, they'd be like, you've got a scarcity mindset. Why are you worried about this? Spend the money and abundance will come to you. If you spend the money, you'll become more spiritually attuned, all this kind of shit, which as a spiritual person – I don't think money matters as much as we think it does, but money certainly fucking matters. You need money and you need to watch out for yourself and have boundaries and not let people take advantage of you. Nothing that is spiritual should cost you $30,000. Like go find a different guru if that's the situation.
Seriously.
Like, it's really, really bad. And they would do the same thing like in Scientology too. When I'm saying, when she would ask those questions, you know, in Scientology, they say, find the, I forget their term for it, but it's like find the weak spot, whatever their word for the weak spot is. And the way Scientology would do it is that Oxford personality test, which you fail it no matter how you answer it. They find something that are like, okay, well, this is your problem and only we can fix it. And they would do the same thing. They would find your problem, but then love bomb you about it too. Like if it was like, you know, I'm scared I'm always going to be alone, or I'm scared I'm not attractive, then they'd be like, come in. You're not going to be alone. Look at this beautiful community you have. Look at, you know, John over here. He thinks you're attractive. All this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So not good. So she's getting more and more power and she is becoming more and more crazy. She's getting drunk on power. She's becoming this, she thinks she's like this messiah, right? She thinks she's like Jesus Christ of, I guess, the left quadrant of the clit. I don't know.
That's my quadrant.
But they, yeah, it's my quadrant.
Watch how you talk to me when I'm in my quadrant.
Yeah. And then she starts using like Buddhist quotes and like the famous Buddhist quote, like just as the ocean has, and this is how they get the name, one taste of salt, so does this have one taste. And then they say of theirs, cult liberation. So the taste is liberation. We're liberating ourselves. And then people from the cult are like, it was like sex and orgasm were God and Nicole was Jesus. Nicole was Muhammad. Nicole was the disciple of God of this orgasm. She does have a quote because she does try. She was not successful to get it to be a religion. So she can, same thing as Scientology, get that tax break, right?
Get those tax breaks.
And she's like, yeah, I do want to start a religion, but I can't sell God. You can buy God on Amazon. You still can't buy sex. So, I mean, she's right. You can't.
I mean,
you can at one legally, taste.
But you can. It's
fine. No, but, you know, sex will always sell. She's correct about that. But when she wants it to start becoming a religion, that's when things start to get really, really, really fucking unhinged. So she starts bringing in all this, like, all this like cult imagery, like not so much cult in the way that we're talking about, like Eyes Wide Shut kind of cult imagery stuff.
Oh my God,
yeah. That movie. She starts doing magic school, which I think is another $36,000. Oh, I forgot about this too. There's something above the $36,000. You could also pay $60,000 for a year-long membership when you can just like go ohm whenever you want. Like you free to ohm all the time. So you can basically go unlimited ohming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and unlimited courses. Oh, yeah. So basically you can, yeah. So she's got magic school where you can go and become ordained as a high priest or priestess of orgasmic meditation, right? So you're the best finger fucker out there, I guess. Is the situation. And also, this is crazy. Like, there's no penetrate, nothing. It's just that upper left quadrant with one finger. That's what they're teaching you.
I would hope. So she starts. Spend so much money, they'd be like, all right, here's the secret about the bottom right quadrant. Do not tell those broke bitches out there. This is only for you guys. Okay.
Yep. Exactly. Well, I guess too, they did start doing like BDSM classes too. She definitely wasn't, you can just tell she was into a lot of stuff, but apparently they did BDSM classes too, but it wasn't, you had to be like in the inner circle. And that old San Francisco warehouse where they all lived now is a BDSM dungeon. They have footage of it in the documentary. So it's got like the cross boards and.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. You got to tell me more. So you can't just be like, oh, BDSM. Like, what were they doing?
Well, it doesn't go into it in the documentary, but they do have a lot of imagery of like people tied up and people like, but you know, like when they do like BDSM, like workshops where it's certainly still sexual, but they're like teaching you. I mean, I'm sure it was very sexual. It's one taste, crazy sex cult, right. But like
how to say,
you know, the tenets of. Yeah. And there's a lot of like, I haven't been to one, but there's a lot of like BDSM workshops that obviously are sexual, but they're doing sexual things, but not in like a sexual context, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
like
it
they're
does.
Showing you. Yeah. It's not like, okay, well now we're showing you how to safely, whatever, it is, you know, BDSM can be as intense as you want it to be.
Safety first.
Safety first. Right. But they definitely were into that because the guy that they interview, who was this very high up, had a ton of money in tech, left his job to be like the video guy at One Taste and live in this community and own women all day, I guess. I think he said he now like teaches BDSM classes or something. And they have him going through the whole like dungeon playroom. So there was, listen, I'm sure there was everything going on in this cult. Everything. But oming was what they would teach you. So there's this thing that comes out that is called the Stinson Beach Demo, which was meant to be like a marketing thing. I think like right before this really got exposed by Bloomberg, was right around when the Stinson Beach demo came out. When I was looking for it online, like you can still find the ticket to it and how it sold out. And it was like Nicole Dedon invites you to this warehouse for 2 hours of like the Ohm magic or whatever. They have footage of it in the documentary. It is so unbelievably unhinged. It is so occult. It is so ritualistic. So the video starts out, and I don't know if the documentary did this or the original footage did this. It looks like it's filmed on like a 1980s like handheld camcorder. Oh, it's like kind of shaky and blurry. Yeah, it looks like Blair Witch Project. And okay. she's like in this like very like dowdy like frock almost, with like her head wrapped in like a turban. And they're saging her. They're like saging all around her. And then this like, I guess, doula kind of person comes up and is like chanting over her. And then they bring out a huge ass fucking snake, like a cobra. I don't know what it was. And they wrap the snake around her. And, you know, snake is a huge symbol in spirituality, right, also sexuality. But so she's got this snake like writhing around her while she's like in this, you know, frock, and this woman is like chanting over her, and she's supposed to be coming like one with the snake. And then she stands up and she's naked, and she gets on this like a ceremonial bed, and they have like people that come over that are like ritualistically like shaking over her and like sucking on her body, and like they're supposed to be like giving energy, whatever. And then, you know, the guy comes up to ohm her, and the rest of the video is like half an hour of her having these like insane orgasms. She's screaming, she's moaning, she's like stuck in stillness. It's just very, I mean, I don't know if it's performative or not. Like, God bless you, honey. I hope it was that good, but it seems a little.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right? Me too.
Next day I would have been like, my back. Oh God.
Ugh, yeah.
I should have drank water. I'm so dehydrated.
Yeah. So that was the Stinson Beach demo. And then the magic school that you can pay to be a high priestess or a high priest of orgasm is really eyes wide shut. You go in and it's women, and she wanted it to be like these archetypes of female sexuality. It's women wearing these like black, almost like orc like masks, with nothing on underneath. So yeah, like I'm kind of into the imagery, like the warrior woman goddess, but it's this whole like ritualistic thing. You go up, you got to ohm the woman, whatever, then you become this high priestess, but you're spending $30,000 to, again, basically finger a woman, right? Like it's so crazy. It's just so crazy. Then they start doing, and this was like hidden from the public, because obviously, and I love when they talk about this in the documentary, they start opening it up to oming for men, which does immediately change the script, right? Like it's
oming for men. How? They don't have a clitoris. Are they just doing the head of the penis?
A hand job. Yeah. So they call it like a spiritual hand job.
But are they like hip dwelling? Because if they get more than just the upper left quadrant, I'm going to be mad as shit.
Right? I don't know. They didn't go into it, but it should. It should just be the one finger on the upper left frenulum of the head of the dick, right? That's the way it should be. Yeah. Listen to you. That's right.
Quality motherfuckers. Okay.
Yep. You ain't getting any more of this. I don't know, but they do talk about this, and they're like, immediately when you switch the script, like it becomes, which, fair or not fair, like, It's a little it's wacky either way, but you can have this like female orgasm thing, and people are like, that's wellness, that's good, you know, that's owning your power. Right. The second you switch it to like, we're given HJs, it just becomes like, what is this, a rub and tug place? Like, is this a happy ending, spiritual happy ending?
Goes from art to porn just like that. Like, it was artsy, immediately. But now it's gross.
Yeah, exactly. And that is so funny, because it's true. It's true. It was artsy, but now I feel dirty and gross. Yeah.
We're going to.
Yeah. Right. So when that starts is really when things start getting completely, completely unhinged. It's like deeply occult now. People are spending all this money. She's pressing and pressing and pressing to get these sales reps. And the main sales rep, this girl, Rachel, would make the salespeople watch these videos of lions. Here we go, the Leo energy again, like actually tearing apart their prey. And she was like, "You're the lion. You're the lion." And she would say, "We need to spiritually fluff people." So like, again, their sales tactics, get in there, get them, she said, so energetically and emotionally hard that they were ready to spend money. But she was like, we're so the lions. Like,
I want you to get these men criminally horny. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I want you to shove this paper in front of them.
Exactly. That is what they would do though. And they have criminally horny, but they would. It's just so interesting because this thing that was supposed to be this matriarchal thing that was supposed to be about female empowerment real quickly, really, really quickly turns into over-sexualizing women and taking advantage of them, because right. In the documentary, they also had this woman who was a lesbian who was like, I was, you know, not comfortable with my sexuality. And immediately, instead of like just letting her be her lesbian self with her very own sacred sexual power, they start trying to feminize her. They're like, you got to be more beautiful. You got to wear this makeup. You got to get men in here, because the men are the ones spending most of the money. Like, women in the beginning could come in and not spend as much. The men obviously are where you're going to get most of the money.
Permanently ladies' night. You can always just come in.
Exactly. So they, you know, they would really try and sexualize these women. So Nicole is getting more and more power. She is thinking of herself more and more of this goddess because people are worshiping her. You can tell she's very charismatic, very, very powerful speaker. She really starts to get very dark at this point. She starts within the community, she's taking advantage of all these people, not paying them. And then in order to get them not to leave, she starts doing the Scientology stuff, like, you know, disconnection, keep them away from their families. She also, like, a young guy came in to join, and he was another one of those, like, I'm not super secure in my masculinity. He was like 23. He was like, my girlfriend had a kid while we were in college. And she's like, well, the woman having the kid should have no effect on your life. You should do whatever you want. You need to let your inner beast out. Like, fuck your kid. Fuck the girlfriend. Come join our sex cult.
Was it his kid?
It was his kid. Yeah, it was his kid. Okay, she's like, don't worry about the kid.
His girlfriend had a kid. I'm like, hold on. Got it.
No. His kid. Yeah. His kid. Yeah. And she's like, the fact that your girlfriend decided to go ahead with the pregnancy should have no bearing on you. Like, you don't need to be a father for the kid, which, like, I mean, everyone do their own thing, but it's not, I don't think that's the best thing to say to somebody, like, go fuck your family, you know?
Yeah. No.
So she, because she wants to keep the men in, keep the men engaged, she very much starts going into this archetype of the dark man, the dark beast. And she starts basically glorifying the violent side of men's sexual nature, which, not to say that every man is violent. I don't mean that. But, you know, men are typically
more predatory,
more aggressive, more predatory. Aggressive. Like, yeah. Want like the rough sex, that kind of more than women, which, of course, there's plenty of, you know, exceptions to that rule. But
hell yeah.
But it is an archetype.
Just because you have so much insider information, you're like, I'm laughing, but I can't say why I'm laughing.
I can't, but I am laughing at your little, I think I'm getting you emotionally and energetically hard right now.
Hell yeah. I can sign anything. Oh my god.
yeah. By the way, if you'd like to join one of my workshops, that'll only be $4,000. Yep. But she starts really, really, really going into this, like, deeply. So it becomes a thing. They start doing aversion therapy, which was when they would have, it gets really bad. They would have women, and again, a lot of people that flock to this have trauma, obviously, involved with sexuality. So the aversion therapy was, you should be having any sexual impulse that you don't like is trauma, is like a block to your freedom. which that's not true.
Sounds just like Scientology.
Yeah. So, yep. So they would do this aversion therapy, and it would spiral into, like, women were part of it. Maybe they don't want to be oming. They don't want to have sex. Nope. You need aversion therapy. And then they would get a sex manager applied to, like, quote unquote, their case, who would, like, go on Tinder and find men that they thought that had money that would, like, pay for these service, but men that the woman definitely wouldn't like. And for that week, they would have to sleep with all these men. They didn't ohm, whatever, with all these men that they didn't like. And
what
then it would escalate
telling those
to, like,
men
oh,
from Tinder.
Like, say, probably like, do you want to come to the workshop? Do you want to see beautiful women? Do you want to be more in touch with your sexuality? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was all still within the frame of the One Taste thing, but then it would amplify within the One Taste community, because they're, like, all, you know, fucking each other, living in these places. The aversion therapy would get, quote unquote, aversion therapy would escalate, and it would be like, okay, you don't like, whatever, being tied up during sex. Like, you don't like rough sex. Well, what you're going to do is be tied up and having incredibly rough sex. And the women would be like, I don't want to do this. And it was like, no, well, that's a block to your freedom. So we all have things, you know, that are hard limits that we do not like sexually, whether, mm-hmm. you know, it's obviously more heightened if we have trauma, but, like, you know, there's certain things I can think of on a spectrum from, like, very innocent to sexual that would deeply, deeply disturb me, that I don't want, either in dating or in sex, that, like, I don't want that. And it would make me very upset if it happened. And not only are they saying you should be okay with that, they're directly exposing you to it and making you do things that you're deeply, deeply, deeply uncomfortable
with.
Yeah. So one woman was like, I want to leave the cult, or, you know, leave the group. And then another woman went to her and was like, why? And she was like, I think Nicole is manipulative. I think she's lying to us, all this stuff. And she was like, okay, well, let's go talk to Nicole. Or Nicole said, have her come talk to me. So she brings her in the room, and Nicole immediately starts crying and is like, what are you talking about? I would never, I'm so sorry that you feel this way. You know, turns on the waterworks. And then the woman's like, immediately, like, oh, I'm so sorry, Nicole. No, I didn't mean, no, I'll stay. You're right. She leaves the room. The woman that brought her down was like, Nicole's tears immediately stopped the second the woman walked out of the room. And she was like, that didn't go the way you thought it would, did it? I win. Like, she's a sociopath for faux show. Not good. Hold on one second. I need to find my notes are kind of
all good. While Kate's looking at her notes, I'm going to backtrack to where they were talking about bringing men in for that stuff. And I had a thought. Maybe it has nothing to do with the penis. Maybe they were stimulating the top left quadrant of the prostate. Something to think about.
No, they weren't.
Question for the scholars.
You can start your own cult. Start your own one and call it, like deep healing, and have it all be
deep
about the prostate.
Healing. That's or deep healing?
Deep healing. What did you think I said?
Deep healing. DEPEELING. I was like, what are we peeling?
Oh,
no one's going to want to come to that if they have a penis.
No, deep healing. You're healing them from within.
But I'll wink every time I say deep. Deep healing.
Yeah, deep. Yeah, exactly. Deep.
Like, wink, wink. Oh, sorry. The cat is a paid actor in the background.
I love it. I love it. Deep healing.
Yeah, deep.
What else would you do in your cult? What else would you do in your cult?
Gaslight men. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, she was doing plenty of that. Don't worry. Gaslight. No. See? You're perfect. You got that Scorpio in you.
Like, it's a block on your masculinity to not be open to all things. So
yeah,
we're going to start with your prostate.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got what I'm looking for. I forgot about this too. Sorry. God, this is so unhinged and so ADHD. If you can, like, manipulate this a little bit, so I'm not quite as unhinged, or at least
maybe I'll just let this energy fly through. We'll see. We'll see in post.
It's just okay.
Maybe I can add some sound.
Well, we got to clean it. We got to clean it up a little bit, because it can't be this unhinged, but okay.
Oh,
so I forgot about this too. Like, or maybe like clip this in early. I don't know. They also would have all these like crazy thing, like they would have erotic open mic nights, and they had some footage from this where like people would just like get up and like talk about their pussy and their dick, and like my pussy is throbbing, my dick is so hard. Like it was just so sexual, which like I listen, part of me is like, good, people shouldn't be ashamed of it. People should be able listen to you now.
I just so already thinking of really crazy shit. Oh, I just want to hear the guy that's like, I don't feel masculine yet. Yeah. And he gets up there and he's like, my wee wee is tired. Just something crazy.
My wee wee is tired.
Or I'm scared of the clitoris or something like.
Well, actually, I feel like the wee wee is tired would more be the women, because some of the women were like, listen, also like, I like to come, like I like to feel good, but if I'm oming like 12 times a day, you know, that's 4 hours of my day. Yeah, of like
I would be so dehydrated. Like, I'm like, can I have some water?
Right,
I need a nap.
Right, I don't think like, you know, I enjoy sex, but like I don't to have it like regimented for 4 hours a day where I've got to like just lay there, and I don't. It just seems a bit much. It's just a bit much.
Dude, I hope they like are helping these people healthy, do this healthily. Like, get them on a multivitamin. Make sure they're hydrated.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they should be stretching. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they should have had stretching and a hydration station for all of this. I agree with you. I agree with you.
I'm here for it.
Have
fun consensually and safely.
But there's so many funny little like, so you know the erotic.
We've got to find footage from the wee wee open mic.
Yeah, there's footage of a woman, but there's my pee-pee's tired. The beast inside me wants a nap. Yeah. I bet we can find. It's amazing. But they also had Project Goldfinger. Like the names of these things are hilarious. Like, yeah, like Project Goldfinger. Like this finger's gold. I'm going to stroke the. And the hyper, I gotta keep remembering stuff. The priests are called master strokers. Ugh. Master strokers. Yeah. Yep. So, and this footage, now Nicole Dadon is saying, I didn't do any of this. No, I've always just been a wellness person. I'm always wanting to help people. But like, clearly, yes, you did do this. And there is footage of her when she's truly getting drunk on power, truly getting unhinged. Mm-hmm. That is very, to me, exceedingly disturbing. She is going into these. She is very much negating trauma and weaponizing it in her speeches that she's doing now in these TED Talks. She is openly talking and saying things that I think people will find very offensive. I find them very offensive. And big time trigger warning here. Let me put a trigger warning. If you do not want to be offended by sexual violence, trigger warning. She starts talking about her father, and she's like, the reason that I am this sexually open woman, you know, she's like, I was abused when I was a call girl. I was abused when I was a stripper. And you know what? I'm sure she was. And that's not okay. And she's got her own trauma to work through. But she's like, that was my fault because I wasn't in touch with my inner sacred sexuality, which I guess in her mind now is being abused, taking whatever quote unquote the man's beast wants to give to you. She says, like, I am the woman that everyone's scared of because I have integrated my trauma. I don't remember a time before my dad touched me down there. I don't remember a time I wasn't being strangled by, like, men would come in and strangle me for money and sometimes almost kill me. And you know what? Like, no, I didn't like it, but then I took the money and I'm stronger for it. And he was just letting his beast out. She says, I don't even think my dad's a bad person. I think my dad's a good person. 52 child molestations. I just think his beast was so fourth dimensional. He wasn't understood here. And he was above all this earthly stuff. So this is when that spiritual shit, this is when it starts getting real fucking crazy and real fucking evil.
She compartmentalized her trauma to make it palatable for her brain. Because
correct.
To be clear on our show, there is no fucking way that is true. And I know you already know
this.
No
way.
I'm just going to say on the record for me and Kate, no. Anyone who is taking advantage of a child in any way, especially sexually, is a fucking scumbag. Period. End of story.
Yes.
I don't need to hear anymore.
End of story.
Period. End of story. You're correct. A piece of shit. And it's correct. Unfortunate that during a time when she is developed, like when her brain is developing, she was traumatized. So does that give her carte blanche to be a fucking piece of shit herself? No. And no, is it empowering? It also no. She just needs fucking therapy. But, you know, here correct. We are.
Yep. I fully agree with you. Then she starts saying, I'm going to get shirts made for men and women.
Okay.
And the women's shirts are going to say, this is very triggering. I'm sorry. I just want to put that out there.
Okay.
The shirts are going to say, I'm a rape victim and all I got was this like survivor shirt. And I'm going to make ones for men that are like, I'm a rapist and all I got was this like negative connotation on me. Or like this like bad society, this stint in prison or something. So she's trying to normalize rape and saying it's like, it's okay. Women not being
the biggest yikes ever.
Yeah. The biggest yikes ever. So it's really, really fucking, it's fucking terrible. It's really terrible. And there is in this documentary, she's like, you know, no, it was taken out of context. I don't understand any context.
There is no that context. Could be okay. Yeah. No.
That's, no, that's ma'am. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely not. Yep. Absolutely no. not. And she, in the documentary, like there is very clearly footage of her saying it and she is reveling in it. Like she thinks she's enlightened. She thinks she's helped.
Yeah.
I don't
she
know
probably what thinks she really hit like, with something like that. Like, oh yeah, I'm nailing it.
Yeah. No, and she's being no. like, yeah, no.
Best case yeah. scenario. This is a cry for help. Realistic scenario. You're a scumbag. No.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So it gets incredibly dark from here on, obviously. So in the documentary, they have Aries. Funny that her name is Aries because we're talking about Mars and Aries season. But Aries blank. She did have a court case on this, and she settled in a civil court out. She has, I think, a non-disclosure agreement on her. She was not in the documentary. But they settled, I think, for about like $300,000 with her for, it was labor disputes, but clearly abuse was going on. But she's not in the documentary, but her sister is. And her sister, you can tell, is a very spiritual person. Her sister saged before she comes on. Her house has all these plants. And she's like, I'm not against spirituality, but this is a cult. And they like did horrible things to my sister. So her sister grew up in a, you know, had a hard childhood. It's all that stuff that a cult can suck you in. You're emotionally vulnerable, all this stuff. So she gets wrapped up in it and she's got letters from her sister who's writing her within it. She was told she needs to om at least 4 times a day. So she needs to lay down for these orgasm sessions 4 times a day, which like, you know, again, you don't need to, you should om as much as you want to om. You shouldn't be, you know,
like made I have to, a made schedule. To do this stuff. I don't have time for this. 4 times right. a day. I got things to do.
Right. Right. Exactly. I don't have to, I don't, maybe on a nice Sunday, but I don't have time to just spread my legs open and get upper left quadrant stroked every couple of hours. I know. I know. I mean, it sounds kind of nice, honestly, but no, just kidding.
If you take all the bad parts out, the me time alone sounds nice.
Sounds great. It sounds great. So she becomes very wrapped up in this very quickly. She moves into the commune. She's all in. She's totally into it. And she's like a really beautiful young girl. And she gets this boyfriend within the group who is very violent. And to be honest, he's probably, I have no idea who this guy is, but they're grooming the women and they're grooming the men. And when we're at this point, they're actually grooming the men, I think, to be violent. Like this is not BDSM play where it's like, okay, we're going to have a defined set of rules.
Right.
What is okay, what isn't, safe words. And we're going to play with power dynamics. We're going to play with, you know, violence and sex in a controlled environment where, yes, like I want to be very clear. That's very different. That's not what this is. She is saying like women are these scared, timid things that need to accept whatever the men want sexually. And then she's grooming the men to say like, she's like, no, that's not, you're not really tapping into your beast. You need, your beast is there. You need to tap into your beast. And beast, she means violence. She means like sexually, you know, dubious things. And they also have an interview with her ex-husband, and her ex-husband's like, Nicole gets off on seeing what she can make people do, which also very Pluto too. Pluto is power. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I think it got to a point where like she started out, I think she did want to like help people, but she got drunk on power and she got turned on and liked seeing what she could make people do, sexually, not sexually, whatever, having that power, having that sway over people. So she's now at this point where she's constantly telling men, be in touch with your beast, and constantly telling women, take it,
right,
that this is how it's going to lead you to this, you know, enlightenment, I guess. So he punches her in the eye, Aries Blanc, this young girl, this boyfriend she has, he punches her in the face, bruises her eyes, is shaking her, violently, physically shaking her. She's got bruises all over. So she goes to Nicole and the response is, it was her fault. Because his beast was only fulfilling what her body asked him to do. So she was, you know, sexually enticing him when she wasn't. First of all, it doesn't matter if she was or she wasn't, but she wasn't.
Correct.
And she's saying, no, this is your fault. It's his beast. So there's that. And then she says to her, our soulmates must do violent things for our own growth. So this violence that you're getting is for your own growth, which that's fucking bullshit. That's bullshit. Right. Yep. And then, they got another guy to come in after she has this trauma. And they say, well, he wanted to rape you, use you. And as a turned on woman, you would have taken the beast's cry. Like you should have taken it. So then they get another guy to come in and like have this rough sex with her after this. She's vomiting, trembling, has to go to the hospital, obviously is incredibly traumatized. And their response to her is, no, the vomiting, the trembling, you're physical reaction, not to mention fucking mental reaction, is your body alchemizing orgasm. Mm. Yeah. Not okay. Not okay. Not okay. Not okay. And she also says, I forgot about this. She says like, there is no such thing as rape. There's girl, women who aren't open. Yeah. So it gets really fucking dark. It gets really, really, really fucking dark. So then this, reporter from Bloomberg was going to do a piece on it in the vein of the rest of the media at this point, which was giving it a very positive light, saying it's this, you know, up and coming thing that's really great for women's health, men's health, alchemizing the gender roles, like people being vulnerable, which obviously it's not. And during this time, I forgot about this too, right before the Bloomberg article came out, they, as Scientology did, were trying to make like separate offshoot groups that were then going to go into businesses. Like, you know how Scientology has like the WISE program, Narcanon, all these different things that aren't labeled as Scientology, but are, and come in and like use Scientology tech. So she, in fact, actually at this point, maybe it was just under One Taste, but it's incredible how far she got. She was trying to do a corporate sponsorship and go in and have like oming techniques, like this sex technique, but also like being open, whatever, for corporations, going in to do like corporate trainings. And the NHL was signed up with her. The NHL was going to partner with her. Odwalla Juice Company was partnered with them, had signed a contract. No, it's honest. Yeah. Khloe, I mean, this is not as amazing, but Khloe Kardashian was like going to be a spokesperson. They had this guy, Tom, I can't remember his last name, from like a huge fitness regimen, was ready to partner with them. They were about to explode. They were making $12 million a year annually. They were about to explode into way more ventures. But then this Bloomberg article comes out. And this woman that was writing it, as I said, went into it writing from the vein of like, this is going to be a good article. But while she was doing research, she had a lot of people come to her and say, actually, there's all these people that have had these really bad, really bad experiences. So she went down that vortex. And then when this article pops off, right before it pops off, the Rachel, the head of sales, she pulls out. She's like, oh, nope, sorry. I'm not a part of this anymore. Don't want my name attached to this. Nope, nope, nope. I'm out. Nicole sells all her shares in One Taste. Then the FBI gets involved. There is an ongoing FBI investigation into this now. Nicole moved to a different country, but she's back now. She's back. And while she sold One Taste, she's still like involved with it. And I just saw like just a couple months ago, she did another fucking talk And she's like back at it. And she's like, nope, they were lying about me. Nope, all this. Nope, this is still great. I'm still the spiritual guru. Nope. So this is still ongoing. This is still ongoing, but there is a FBI investigation into it for sure, which I'm sure will uncover plenty more things, especially if she's popping up and she's back in the US trying to do it again. But yeah, so that's one taste. It's really, really crazy. But then also, I feel like I should tell you this. You would appreciate this. The guy that you were making so much fun of, where you're like, why don't you just treat women like, you know, ask them their favorite color. I was like, I wonder what's up with him, because he's factored heavily in this documentary. I looked him up. He's now his own spiritual guru who basically is holding classes that I have no idea. I don't want to speak poorly about this guy because he seems like he was traumatized too. And I don't know what he's doing in these classes, but he's a personal coach that basically is trying to teach about the male archetype and getting in touch. His doesn't seem like it's her bent. It seems like it is actually like a positive bent on like incorporating vulnerability and the darkness. But who knows? Maybe he's out there doing the same shit. I don't know what he's doing. Obviously, you can put it out there to be whatever you want. He's certainly still taking these tenets and teaching them in whatever light it is, teaching about this masculine archetype and the inner beast. So I don't know. I don't know. Hopefully he's teaching, you know, not tapping into that unfetteringly and doing crazy things. He actually is teaching like alchemizing that into light instead of darkness, but wild.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh.
So if you want to join an orgasm cult, you still can. You still can. It's still around.
Or you can just be your own high priest or priestess and just spend
some time. Master stroker. Your own master stroker.
What a shitty name. You can't take 10 minutes to workshop the names. Come on.
Well, they did it. They did it because of that Buddhist quote, just as the ocean is one taste and that is of salt, so is one taste and that is of liberation.
Okay, well, that was good, but master stroker is stupid. Like, come up with something cooler. That's so dumb.
Well, whatever. When you start your own deep healing cult, you can come up with your own terms.
And my little terms will be so fucking on point, you won't even know.
They will. They will. I'm trying to think of some right now. You know what you could do? You could call it, if you want to have a spiritual bent to it, you could call your technique the Milky Way. And because like the cosmos, but milking the prostate, the Milky Way.
Hmm.
This is probably about to take a really...
That's terrible.
No, it's good. You know what? Fuck you. Because this is going to be another one of those ho, 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 whatever it was from the Christmas thing. You're going to say, it's terrible. And then 2 months from now, you're going to have your fucking prostate cult. And it's going to be called the Milky Way.
I roasted you and told you it was cringe. And then did it like 2 minutes later.
Immediately. Yeah.
To be fair, you're about to start your cult. And we were recording several in a row.
Well, you know what? I'm going to stand up for myself. The Milky Way is a very clever name for a prostate cult. The Milky Way, it's very clever. It's not terrible. You should use it.
I'm going to let you have that one. It's your own intellectual, it's your own intellectual property. Don't let anyone take it away from you, girl.
That's okay. I'm not trying to start a prostate milking cult. It's not really making
sense. Oh, you're not? You just sounded so good for it.
I mean, I guess I could. It's a great name. At least I got the name.
Hey, imagine how much personal power you could have.
So much personal power. Yeah.
All you have to do is pay me $39.99 to come to my Power Top Workshop.
Power Top Workshop. Oh God, I can't. I don't want to be a power top, so I'm not coming to your power top workshop.
I will. That doesn't have a nice ring to it, though. In verse, it'll be fine.
I don't need a subclass or a verse class or a power top class, honestly. But if I did need one, power top would be the one, I guess.
Oh man! All right. So I know we mentioned a while back about contests. I was waiting for a This is a seamless segue. I'm sorry. You know it.
Yeah, this is not a seamless segue at all. I love that you're just like,
cringe. Okay, yes, well. Kate. Anyway, back to what business. I was saying. I know we announced
that we've gotten that out of the way.
You can get that out of the way. Yeah. So we are going to be rounding up everything within the week. I'm going to try to get this edited and out here in the next couple days so that from the time I post it, you will have a week. If you want to get a few more in, I'm going to start tallying things now. And we were asking people, please, to leave funny reviews or like and comment on the show. We just want to get more engagement. So a few of you are pretty high up on the list right now, as from what I have seen. I will be going through all the different platforms we're on and seeing who left what. And if you have a funny nom de podcast, and I don't know it's your regular name, you're going to have to say, hey, that's me. I am Spartacus. I wrote that. So.
And also, extra points, yes. If you please, please share the show, like share an episode to your Facebook page. Yeah. It just share takes a couple of seconds. Media
with links. Just share it straight from the Spotify app. Just share show.
Yeah, just
that is how we get the word out. My friend's That's how podcast. People do it. And also, please like and subscribe. We have a lot of y'all listening. I'm checking the analytics, but you're not actually subscribed to the show. And that does help us out a little bit. So we would appreciate that a lot if you could do that for us.
So much.
That'd be very cool.
So much.
That'd be great. Kate, I hear you shuffling.
So
Are you
great.
Doing something right now?
Oh, no. It was just, I am shuffling, but. That was just nervous tarot. Not nervous, but just always got a tarot deck in my hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Well, that was fun.
I mean, do you want me to pull a card? I can. I pulled one before, but.
Do it.
I can. Okay. Let's pull one. I told you before the show, I was like, I feel like it could only be the devil and strength and the devil.
Let's see if you get the other one.
On the back of the deck.
Then that would be extra wild.
No, the other one, that already happened. The other one was on the bottom of the deck.
Oh,
devil shot
that
out
part.
And on the bottom of the deck. Yes. And on the bottom of the deck was strength, Leo energy. And the devil is like, the devil's Capricorn energy, but the devil is like, is addiction, sex. It's big time, like sexual, having issues with like, obsession with sex and that kind of stuff. And strength is Leo energy. It's bombast. It's like, whew. Well, actually, two just flew out. And this is also kind of perfect. One of them is strength again, that Leo energy. And next to it is the Queen of Wands, which I definitely could see Nicole Dedon being. The Queen of Wands is fire energy. It's Leo, Leo, Aries, Sagittarius, but it is like, it is, I would say, the strongest of like the female gendered archetype, which it's just energy. It's not like you have to be a woman to be the Queen of Wands, but the Queen of Wands is like a fiery woman who goes very sexually attractive. Like it is one of the cards of like sexual attraction, especially in the more feminine way, who like goes ahead and gets whatever the fuck she wants. Like nobody's stopping the Queen of Wands. It also has a spiritual bent to it, but it is like a very, it's not a harlot, but like a very,
Sexually empowered,
very sexy, but also strong. And like, she's a badass bitch is what the Queen of Wands is. Yes. She is a badass bitch, but she is definitely the sexiest of the queens. She is like, do not mess with me. She's the most, again, this is not gender, it's energy. The most masculine of the queens, the most active, the most like, don't fuck with me. I am here. I am ready to roar. And I am in charge of my sexuality. And I guess, you know, that certainly was an archetype she was trying to play with. I don't think she got it right, but.
That's crazy.
It's wild. The strength came out again. Yeah, it is crazy.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Okay, well, let's.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay, guys. If you want to ohm, don't spend $30,000 on it. You can just go look at a YouTube video for 10 minutes and teach you how to do it. That's my advice. And I'm sure you do know how to do it already. It's just just take back your personal
just
power.
Just take some time to yourself and you'll get there. Just it'll be fine.
Well, it's not supposed to be masturbatory. It is supposed to be about vulnerability between two people. But I mean, just talk to your partner and say, I would like you to touch me and us to be communicative about it, and I would like to have an orgasm. Boom, there you go.
There you go. You can do all things through consent and communication.
Exactly.
All right. Let's say bye to the people, Kate.
Bye. And also let us know if there's any cults you want us to do. We've got a few that we're doing, but if there's any that really. Yep.
Drop it on the Facebook page. Be loud about it.
Yep.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.